G'day listeners and welcome back to the Australian Property Scout News Bulletin, keeping you up to date and well informed on everything that's happening out there with property in the Australian property market. Now guys, jumping straight into it, item number one, why rising seller confidence is good news for buyers. Article by Karen Delau, Senior Property Analyst over at PropTrack. Nationally, there was a 16.6 year-on-year increase in new listings on realestate.com.au in February, while total listings rose 7.2%. The surge in activity is particularly notable in capital cities, where new listings reach their highest levels since 2012. It comes as recent data from realestate.com.au's Residential Audience Pulse Survey underscored the trend, revealing that 1 in 10 Australian consumers were contemplating selling their property. Seller confidence has significantly improved in the past 12 months, with 43% of survey respondents now considering it a favorable time to sell, a notable increase from 34% in January last year. So guys, nearly 50% of survey respondents considering it's a good time to sell right now. Western Australia has the highest seller sentiment, with 63% of respondents expressing optimism about the current market, making a substantial 70% increase from this time last year. That's a massive increase, obviously, in terms of thinking that now might be a good time to sell. New South Wales, Queensland, and South Australia have also witnessed substantial growth in seller sentiment over the past year, with New South Wales up 53%. The primary drivers behind this uptick in seller sentiment were perceptions of rising prices and increased buyer demand. So effectively, they think it's a good time to sell because there's more people out there buying and their properties have increased in pricing as well. Over a third of sellers anticipated further price increases in the next 6 months, paralleled by a similar proportion foreseeing a surge in buyer demand. So they think the market's going to stay hot. Lifestyle changes such as relocating to different area or seeking a property with specific amenities like a pool or space were primary motivations for selling based on the respondents. So that's a bit more of an owner-occupier style sort of feedback there, guys, rather than investing. Seeing it from that side is interesting. While seller numbers are on the rise, several obstacles hinder property sales presently. Pay attention here, guys, because this is actually something I've dealt with in a lot of booms before, what they're describing here about to happen. Many sellers cited the difficulty in actually finding a suitable property to purchase as a primary reason for reconsidering selling, with 67% of survey respondents unable to find a property that they wanted to buy that met their needs. The highest proportion that changed their mind about selling, couldn't find a property met their needs. The next highest was couldn't find another property they wanted to buy, so effectively the same. Next highest was couldn't find a property in my price range, so again, couldn't find what they wanted to buy. And the last one was it was too hard to align selling my property whilst buying the next one. So moreover, finding a property that meets their criteria falls within their budget remains a hurdle, exacerbated by obviously the robust price growth over the last year. Despite these challenges, 43% of sellers express a strong intention to sell within the next 6 months, and this should further bolster new listing volumes. Home buyers will welcome the uptick in new listings as more options hit the market, but will still face significant competition due to lower than normal total listing levels. Now guys, as a bit of a recap here, more people are thinking about selling because they think the market conditions are going to remain strong. They think buyer conditions are going to remain strong. But whilst that is a primary driver to think about going to market, the simple fact and the simple equation on the back end of it, for investors, it's all good. It makes sense. If they think now's the right time to sell, they can go to market, they can sell. They don't need to worry about trying to get into another property in the meantime. Whilst, even though they might be, a lot of the time they might need to get the cash and the debt back before they can do it anyway. So the sooner the better for them. But for primary residence owners and homeowners, not being able to find properties that meet their needs or not being able to find the right deal or the right property, you know, at the right price for their primary residences is proving to be the biggest roadblock. Now, this isn't a new thing. Whenever I've been in a boom and you're trying to buy properties, a lot of the time we have to be creative with our terms and conditions that we offer a seller who is looking to upgrade or downsize or move around or whatever, because you can't just find what they want very easily. They might need some extended time to kind of get in from that front as well. So something we found that's particularly effective, especially in owner-occupied locations and an owner-occupied seller, is knowing how to structure those terms to still get access to deals and not lose transactions. This happens a lot of time with pocket listings. So they don't actually go to market. They have the pocket listing and we have to be creative to give them a solution to them being able to find their next house as well. So really interesting to kind of read that it's now happening because obviously we're in quite strong boom conditions again right now, struggling to find that property that they want to move on to, even though they would like to sell if they could. Very interesting, guys. Now, item number two, and these two kind of mesh in together quite well today, I believe. New property listings dip in March following record-breaking February. New property listings across Australia fell 13.6% in March compared to the previous month and were down 8.8% year on year, according to the latest PropTrack listings report. Ann Flady, PropTrack economist, attributed the slower month to the timing of Easter this year, with a long weekend falling in March instead of April, kickstarting the pre-Easter selling period earlier than usual. Following the busiest start of the year in over a decade, new for sale listings fell in March as an early Easter brought forward the slowdown in selling activity typically seen in April. Across the combined capital cities, new listings were down 8.5% year on year, with fewer listings seen in every city except Sydney. Regional areas also experienced a slowdown in selling activity, with fewer new listings seen in all regional markets over both the month and the year. Despite the decline in new listings, total listings were 2% higher compared to 12 months ago due to the surge in new listings seen in the back half of February. Canberra, Melbourne, and Sydney saw the largest rise in total listings, offering buyers more choice compared to the previous year. Despite fewer properties being brought to market in March compared to 12 months ago, total listings remained up year on year as a result of the surge in listings seen in Feb. Despite the total number of properties for sale being higher overall, the median time taken for a house to sell was lower in all states over the month, reflecting strong buyer demand, Ms. Flady said. The report also noted that buyer demand has been supported by a more stable interest rate environment, expectations of a potential rate decline before the end of the year, and record population growth of 660,000 over the 12 months to September 2023. While total listings were up in most regional areas compared to the same time last year, regional Queensland and regional WA saw listings decline. Regional Victoria experienced the strongest year-on-year growth in total listings, guys. If you own property there and you've seen prices sliding back, total listings increased by 27%, followed by regional Northern Territory at 25% and regional Tassie at 22%. Guys, as a bit of a wrap on that, stock didn't come to market in December and January, which is very, very normal. It came also at a time where there was not that much going into the Christmas period as it was. We kind of forecasted that a lot of stock was going to come to market in February and March. We saw that massive, and as it says here, the record-breaking February in terms of listings. That was very interesting to witness out there, seeing this big uptick in listings coming to market. The interesting thing, though, is that in most areas or in areas that are strong, there was enough appetite there and enough buyers literally just soaked that up almost immediately. And then obviously we saw a big dip in March. So it's an interesting thing to kind of watch play out. There's also school holidays in April and there's Easter and everything in April. And pretty much all school holidays across the whole country are in April plus Easter. So it's going to be very interesting to watch if nothing came to market pretty much in December and Jan, massive month in Feb, decent month in March, very little in April. It would be very interesting if we see another uptick in May and June when things pretty much return to normal. Most public holidays, school holidays, all that sort of thing wrap up and ease up. So it'd be very interesting to watch kind of how that plays out. And we're very careful when we're assessing markets and when we're buying things as well, when we think price jumps are going to come because of things like that also. So it's going to be very interesting to watch what happens out there in the marketplace in the coming months with listings. And yeah, what comes to market, what's starting to blow out? As we can see in that report there, there are multiple markets now starting to blow out as well with increasing numbers of listings. And some of those markets there, guys, up over 25% year on year. That's a pretty big increase in listing numbers. So a few things there you want to be a little bit careful of if you're out there in the marketplace. And obviously tracking this is very important, both to what markets you're getting into, but then trying to time your exits correctly as well. I hope you took some good value out of that today, guys. That's a wrap for another APS weekly news bulletin. If you did, or if there's someone else that you think might take some value out of it, please make sure you send it on. We're trying to keep building and creating this community of people that keep thinking, talking, and acting the way that we do about property investing. And until next week, guys, that's in our APS weekly news bulletin on the Scouting Australia podcast.